Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'd like to start the show with a song. New you, you, you. I sing that as a test to connect with real guidance and real education from real guides. So if a person wants to find out for themselves what life shows them, test it before you go to sleep each evening for like 15 minutes. And 15 minutes when you wake up in the morning. And find out for yourself what the new presentation is all about. There's new books available. The Adventure Is series by Dwayne the Great Writer, available at lulu.com. Today, we have a lady, Nancy Visco, is supposed to be on to be interviewed, and she has experiences with fairies that sounds very interesting. It's not very many people that seem to have these experiences that I'm aware of. But anyway, Dean Val of Nations United Universal University is trying to get a hold of her. She was supposed to call in. Are you there, Nancy?
Yes, I am.
Oh, hi. Yeah, great. You're interested in... You write books and children's books about the fairies. Is that what your books are mainly about?
It is about fairies and also the fourth dimension. That's
the which dimension?
The fourth dimension.
Would that be, let's see, physical, astral, causal, mental dimension?
No, just like we're basically, from my understanding, we're in the third dimension as far as physical is concerned. So
what are you calling a dimension?
Vibration, a frequency.
Uh-huh. Oh, what's the difference?
What's the difference with what?
Of the vibrations.
Oh, well, the higher the vibration, and then the closer you, higher the vibration, the closer you are to being non-physical, like the celestial beings and our creator, that are such a higher vibration, they're not physical, they're more a spiritual form, or an energy, even just basically an energy. So that's what my basically my book's about. The fairies and the elementals dwell in that fourth dimension, which is obviously the frequency is a little higher, which is normally why we can't see them, but their energy is here.
Yes, it's very interesting that you have a relationship with a fairy or fairies, and you say the elementals, these are the fire and water and earth and air beings, or what do you call them? Is that them?
Yes, that's them. That's the energies. And then also you would have other energies considered the
like
devas.
Like gnomes?
Yeah, all of those. Devas, D-E-V-A-S, those are energies of the trees.
Oh,
because
wow.
Every plant, every flower, even animals all have, they're all a being and they all have an energy about them.
I'm curious, why do you think that you have, that they will have a relationship with you and not like with everybody isn't aware of fairies being, existing, or these vibrations?
I think it's because the first thing is, of course, I believe in them, and there are actually a lot of people who do believe in them. I don't know if Tinkerbell started it or not, but that's a Disney one. But it's just something I started thinking about, and after reading so many metaphysical books, I just started kind of painting them. Like, I got books on fairies and read about them and painting them, and then just one morning about 4 years ago, I woke up 4 a.m., which normally I don't wake up that early too often, and this idea and this story just came into my head. So I got up and I wrote the 12 chapters that I basically believe I was given. I wasn't quite sure what was going to be in them, but as I began to write, then the information came.
Uh-huh. Do you meet the fairies in what's called your dream visions, or in the awake, we call this awakened state?
It's more of an awakened state for me, and it's more of a feeling their energy. Particularly, and actually, anyone can feel their energy and any of nature's energy, particularly when you're outside. The closer you are to nature, then the more it's going to resonate with you. And it's just kind of about your vibration, learning how to raise your vibration so that you can be in contact with that.
When you talk about the fairies or have a relationship with them, do they have names, or how do you communicate?
Well, let's see, that's a good question. Yes, they have names. All fairies have names. The main one that was in my book was called Sunshine, which was the guide to my character. And she's kind of an overall fairy in that dimension. And then there are other fairies, depending on what their jobs are, or their association with nature is. You can have flower fairies, and even you can read in the early 1900s where they would write about a violet fairy or a rose fairy, just because they tend to cultivate and give energy to those particular flowers. A few ones that I hadn't been aware of that came out as I was writing was they're called twig fairies, and they help work with the small branches and the small leaves and the small twigs that are beginning to grow and probably need some encouragement. It's more of an energy. So yes, there are different names, and it's more in my writing that they speak with me. When I sit down to write, that's when the information comes.
Do they complain about what man is doing?
Oh, yes. In fact, they're almost to the point, and this is something I'm going to be working on more in the future, there are a lot of people who do this, I'm sure, as we're well aware, just, you know, that we need to take care of our environment, because the fairies are just like behind me shrugging their shoulders with their hands up saying, hey, you know, we only can do so much. And there is a lot of that. There's a big problem with that. And of course, animals too. They have the same situation where they're not treated correctly, particularly, you know, in the fishing industry and things like that. And so that's, yes, I would say they're not happy at all.
Yeah, I understand that, all right, why they wouldn't be happy with the humans.
Yeah.
I think I'll open up the questions for anybody else on the line. Dean Val, would you like to ask Nancy some questions or have something that you'd like to say?
Sure. Hi, Nancy. This is Val again, and thanks for being on. Let's see, I'll read. We didn't really get a chance to introduce you, but this is part of the by the way, Nancy's going to be in San Clemente next Saturday for a book signing, and this is what I got off the flyer. I'm also in Southern California in Huntington Beach.
Oh.
So, yeah, I made contact with Nancy indirectly at the Children's Book Festival at Orange Coast College. This was last weekend, and I didn't get a chance to talk to you, but I talked to your helper, and we were fortunate, you know, Michelle volunteered you for the show, so thank you for being on.
I'm delighted, thank you.
This is part of the, I guess it's part of the book here. By accident, a young lass stumbles into the fourth dimension, land of the fairies. Her escort, Sunshine, a tiny fairy, shows her the wonders of this realm. Many exceptional beings welcome her with open hearts, except one. Will she escape from the bewitching dark fairy of misery who has lost her light? So at first when I read this, I thought, well, I heard that somebody had gone to Australia to visit a friend, and then they went into the forest, and then they met Sunshine. Now, is this your character, or is this happening to you? Did this happen to you?
a lot of those situations in the book did are part of, you know, part of my life. Like, I did visit Australia. I used that area because it was a beautiful forest that I happened to walk in. So that was kind of where that came from. And and other parts in the book are related to some things, in my past. They always say, mm-hmm. when you write, you know, try to draw a little bit from your past. So part of that is, most of it is the story of, of that particular realm.
Do these things come to you as you write, or do you have dreams at nighttime too that you access to get information and contact these beings?
You know, I'm sure that I have dreams, and I dream all the time. They used to say, write down your dreams. I got so tired of writing them down. I said, hey, I'm done with that. But I'm sure that that's part of my inspiration. But I do know that when I sit and I'll meditate, and I'll decide to write, and then it'll just, it's kind of like my fingers just go over the keyboard and the words come. So that's kind of why I know a lot of this is really more given to me, through me, rather than just being. And it is always part of your imagination. But then, of course, our imagination is the door to everything, and very important for all people to make us aware.
Yeah, it's very interesting. You're CPA by day and a writer by in your free time, if you have any, right?
By your so time, that's true. That's true.
Very literal to very imaginative.
I think I'm blessed that both sides of my brain work. You know, mm-hmm. the left and the right. I am analytical, and this is just something I fell into over the years because I happen to be good at it and develop my own practice. So that's, that part of my brain. But I've always loved to read. I love to search, any new ideas, any new circumstances. And I'd always been able to draw when I was younger. So I have now since taken that talent up again in the last couple of years, and I took up watercoloring, and I'm watercoloring fairy. So, and they are improving over with time, but it's just another outlet for, creativity.
And how are the children accepting or reacting to your stories? Do you go out and read to children, or do you see any response, or how is the response?
So far it's been pretty good, and I would say when you're talking about children, they're usually, I would say, 10 and older. This book's not really written for small children, because it is a little bit more in-depth there are messages within the story, and so they would have to be able to, not that little children wouldn't relate to it, but I think that like 10 or 12 or 13 up will relate to it more. I've had two or three young ladies want to read it. I haven't. I just published this in later part, about around July. So it's just now, you know, finally getting out there. I'm finally promoting it because I do have my full-time job. So, so far the response seems to be, you know, where they're interested in it, and some of the feedback I've been getting is very good.
And how many books have you written, and what's the last one that you wrote and published in July?
Well, this is the first one that I wrote, which is called The Fairy Turtles. I am currently working on a sequel to that, which I'm about halfway through. I'd like to get it published before the end of the year. And it's called Through the Eyes of Fae. It's going to be a continuation of the story and even a little bit more, I think, deeper. You know, when you write your first one, I kind of wrote it, I would say I skimmed a little bit, because I thought I didn't want my reader to get bored. I wanted them to move right along through the story. But I think I could put more information in there and still keep it, you know, where they're going to want to continue to read.
Yes. And I see here also on the flyer, it reads, your mission is to stimulate or increase the awareness in humans that we can all have the innate wisdom, knowledge, and ability to co-create a benevolent and loving environment that meets the needs of all beings, including the animal, plant, and mineral kingdoms. The founder of our nonprofit, which, if you didn't know, we're basically, well, environmental educational. We provide guidance and education for people to become more aware. And we start with the environment. So the founder and I were talking the other day, his name's Dwayne Heppner, about, oh, how actually people can create weather, you know, and environment that they live in. The black holes in space are unconscious, basically unconsciousness of people. They're becoming bigger, the black holes, because the unconscious agreement to the demise of the planet's becoming more so. The weather actually can be, you know, parts of the world, there's different weather patterns, et cetera, but they have a real relationship. And I imagine the humans to the weather, and I imagine the fairies are the in-between. You know, the elementals are the in-between of that kind of relationship, and they can access and maneuver things certain ways. So it's very interesting how this this all plays into, like you say, it's co-creating a benevolent and loving environment. And that's kind of what we're doing here, is we're trying to help people to see where their agreements are. Are they agreeing to something benevolent, or are they agreeing to their own demise? And it seems so far that they're not they're not waking up to their agreements. And maybe the fairies can help with this. I don't know. Are they? What is their ability to actually? I mean, I see them as kind of encapsulated in a certain dimension. Can they actually do anything in the physical to affect or affect the physical in terms of what's going on in the world today? Can they offset it in any way, or is their power limited to where they're at?
No, they're actually, they do work with all of us here and all the plants. And I know when you're thinking that they're separate from us, but actually they're not. I mean, I'm sure when you start thinking about vibrations and dimensions, that actually we are all one. We're all in it. we're multidimensional beings anyway, and it just depends on where we focus our attention. And right now, as humans, we are focusing a portion of our multiple dimensional self, you know, in this physical body. So that other portion is, you know, right there, and that's why they're, like, right there all around us. I mean, you could have the fourth dimension, the fifth dimension, the sixth, seventh, all up. I've heard there's even more than 50 dimensions. So, and why that, I mean, I call it a dimension, but it really is a vibration or a frequency. Just like sound, a frequency. See, sound can get so high, no one can hear it. Maybe the dogs can. So it's the same kind of concept. But yes, they are the fairies and the elementalies are here to help. That was one of the things they were designed for and asked to help in conjunction with everything else. And yes, they can. I think when asked, because we don't get anything unless we ask. And if we ask for their help, if we ask for them to work with the weather or circumstances, I do agree that we're all able to control it if we just concentrate on it and raise our vibration to a more benevolent frequency. That's where we can do it.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, we have one of our, we call her a seer. She can also see into the other dimensions. Claudie from Corpus Christi, and Sandy's here too, but she's awful sick, so she can't talk. But Claudie can share something about what she's been doing with. I guess she did something with the hurricanes and different things. She's worked with the elementals in her own way too, Mother Earth, and maybe Claudie, you can comment.
Yes, sir. Oh, it is such a pleasure to meet a fairy lady. Oh, how wonderful to know that you're here helping us. My question is, when you work with the elementals, the wind, the water, the earth, the fire, I see them as conscious entities. And interact with them on that level. Speak to them. You don't have to do this. You don't have to burn here. Was working on the Amazon fire in the rainforest. To me, that was the most dastardly crime on this planet, along with the California fires, all the people that were affected by that terrible calamity. Do you talk to them? The elementals, exactly, do you talk to them or interact with them? And how do you convince them, I'm going to say, or get them to recognize what you're doing, that it is affecting the humans, and to please stop?
Yeah, you know what, I do talk to them, and it's interesting you meet that. Trees are very very prominent in our, you know, on Earth, and have a huge duty. And all different trees have their own reason why they're here. Obviously, the fruit trees are to give us fruit and all that. The pine tree is to help. And a lot of this I learned, by the way, if you've ever read any of Robert Shapiro's books, he's a medium, and he has a lot of entities that come through him, and he has a whole book just on animal souls speak and plant souls speak. And the pine trees are to encourage, the palm trees are to encourage new babies to continue to be born, because as we are born, once we get through that veil and we go, some of them want to say, oh, I don't know if I want to do this. So this is to encourage them to continue all the way through the 9 months and to be born. But yes, they speaking to, and I speak to trees. I have a particular tree I call the fairy door tree, and it's funny, when you stand there, you just put your right hand on it to speak. That's the one, a giving hand. And if I want to receive for them, then I put my left hand on. But Yeah, I'm like you. I believe they are all entities, and they're all energy. And if we just try to work with them and request and ask, I believe that they're more than willing to help whenever they possibly can, unless they have another duty to perform by a higher source.
Yes, I'm kind of known in my family and friend circle. Yes, I'm a tree hugger because my first experience of connecting with a tree on a sentient level was so awesome that ever since I've been changed. But now I've kind of moved on to the mushroom entity and how much it has changed the earth. Your thoughts on that would be appreciated. And again, wow, thank you. It's so nice to talk to you.
Oh, yes, same to you. Yes, we'll need to connect off the radio program.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Yeah, the mushrooms, I hadn't thought about that. I'd have to concentrate on energy of the mushrooms. But, yeah, every type of grass, every type of weed, everything has a reason for being here. Everything in the ocean, everything in the air, the birds. So, yeah, I'll have to ask the fairies about the mushrooms.
Yes, there's a gentleman in Oregon who works with mushrooms in different varieties, and he gives a lot of information on how they connect underground with the different plants that are around them. Like if a plant is thirsty and needs water, it can tell the mushroom underground, I need water, and they will somehow get water to that plant. It's amazing how they are able to function so rapidly. And again, it's all done with connection between the plants and the mushroom, the root system especially. The more you get into it, the more you learn fascinating information about how plants talk to each other and why some plants do this or why some plants do that. And thank you.
That's correct. The fairies thank you, too.
Such fun.
Yes.
Now, my understanding of plants and animals is that they don't have an imagination like we do. Is that they're more instinctual? Is that correct, or how do you see that?
Well, I don't know that I wouldn't say that they may not have an imagination, but any type of plant or entity in the plant kingdom or even the animal kingdom, you know, they have a specific job to do. So usually that's all they're concentrating on. If they're let's say a young tree, I mean, you would probably not interact with a young tree very much because the young tree is just concentrating on growth and, you know, getting its nutrients and finding its way, just like maybe a little child. So the ones to converse with as far as, you know, trees are concerned would be the older ones because they're more stabilized. They've heard their stories from the plants and the animals and the ants and the worms and all the thing around. And they're more settled, so they are more inclined to, you know, converse with humans that are willing to do that. So, I forgot your question. What'd you say? I got off on a tangent.
Imagination. I mean, they seem to operate on instinct in nature.
I think it's more that they have a specific job to do, and that's what they're for, and that's all it consumes most of their thinking and their time. So I'm sure that if they wanted to, they could, but then they would have to abandon some of their other duties. Because they're a more simple thought process. I mean, we as humans, we've got this amazing brain, and they are truly amazing too, but I think they're just a little bit more limited in what they're thinking and what they're their abilities are, because they're there for a certain purpose, and that's pretty much all they have time for.
Yeah, the reason I bring that up is because one thing Claudia mentioned before about the fires, and I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but the fires are, a lot of these fires are caused by directed energy weapons, the geoengineering of the weather. And if the elementals could somehow, you know, offset that in their own way by bringing up a wind or something, you know, rain, if they could, I mean, it is their survival too. Is that something that they have the power to do? That's the first question. And then the second question is, well, I'll ask it later, but you go ahead with that one. Do you want to address that?
Do they have the power to do it? I would say that just like any particular entity has its own power, and I'm sure that there are powers out there that would be just what they do. If asked, they would help divert some of that energy. You can't stop it, but you could definitely divert it into a more benevolent situation. That would be my opinion on that.
And could I ask Claudia what were the results of the hurricane? I know you were working with the hurricane at one point. You had
yes.
an interesting take on that.
Talking to the last hurricane that came through, I live in Corpus Christi, Texas, so we're a prime target area.
Yes.
We had more than one, but over the years, I've learned more about the entity itself. It has a consciousness, and most of the time, they're usually angry. And so talking to them to calm them down and to find out what the problem is and to see if it can be corrected, that way they resume back to their source of being, okay, I'm just wind. I'm going from one place to another. I'm bringing fresh air to another place. So for us, or for me, I worked on the last hurricane that came through and put a dome over this area, a clear dome. And what was noticed on the weather report was that the hurricane seemed to skim over this area before it finally dissipated and dissolved back to its original state. So somewhere along the line, the wind accepted that and was able to relax and resume its original job of just blowing from one place to another. In this area of Texas, it's really interesting to see how much nature is involved in this particular zone. One of the things that we get every now and then, and it's been on the news about the Saharan desert dust. We get a lot of it. I mean, it covers the cars. It's on the street, in the sidewalks, everything. When you sweep, you're sweeping Saharan dust, and it eventually is dissipated by a rain shower or something to bring it back to the ground. But for me, talking to the hurricane that came through, I asked it to stop and to see the benefit of doing nothing to harm the humans, and that it would help the earth especially. I don't like to interfere in what the plant or wind or fire or water system is doing, because I know that it's for a purpose, and so that they have a job to do, like you had mentioned. The wind is needed sometimes to stir up, but it's caused by, in my opinion, the negative forces on the planet that are meant on destroying and destructing this planet. And so I cannot stand by to see it do that. The humans have just as much right here, and they don't need to be assaulted by negative forces that have their own agenda, and it's not in our best interest. When Duane talks about supporting the all-natural environment that supports us, to me that's right on. That's exactly what we need to do, is to support the environment. And there are so many companies and industries that are putting poisons out, poisoning our air, our water, our food. That needs to stop. But we as a people have to do it, meet halfway and take a stand, step up, do something. And there are a lot of people on the Internet that are doing things now. I recently saw a story about the skyline in New York City that was an overhead railroad line that was no longer used, and they turned it into a park with trees and plants and flowers for each season. And it is quite a thing. Over 3 million people have visited that. And you can sit on the park benches and watch the trees wave in the wind. It's awesome. Mm. There's
that
a young gentleman who was a young boy who now plants trees. And he's inviting everybody, plant a tree. Help this planet. Do something. So thank you for showing up and telling us and teaching us about the fairies and how to talk to them and work with that kingdom. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
There's also a story about this gentleman, Paul G. He's in Washington State. He's a natural organic gardener. And he's got his own take about on what we traditionally believe gardening, how gardening works. I mean, he's got his own ideas, and they work. I mean, he's got luscious fruits and vegetables that he's growing. Basically, his idea is using mulch, you know, arbor chips, as the soil, or as it breaks down, as a fertilizer. I mean, you put the mulch on top of the soil, and it rains, or you water it in, and it becomes like compost tea, and the leaves and the needles fertilize the plant roots. And what he's found was that and also provides oxygen, which the roots need. So he's found that the roots that have to struggle to get through the soil, you know, they're looking for food, water, oxygen. They're bitter. I mean, they actually have an attitude, like emotion, like, and that's why they taste bitter, because their life has been bitter. It's been hard. These plants that have this wonderful loam, you know, full of water and nutrients, minerals, and oxygen. I mean, they're full of water. They taste so luscious, you know. So they respond to the environment. And so that kind of my next question was, like, well, say you have a fire. And the fire elementals are involved in that, I assume. And then there's the trees that are being burnt. They're trying to survive. So is there like some kind of a confrontation between the two? Or how does that work? I'm not sure how that works when nature is with nature and the elementals are apparently, you know, at least apparently, in a conflict or confrontation. I don't know, fire and the trees being burnt, like, say, what is happening there in terms of on the inner side of things, the real side?
To me, that's a very good question.
Everybody's trying to survive, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But I think in certain cases, you know, that it would be a joint agreement. For instance, you know, when, because our souls do the same thing. Let's say you have a plane go down, and there's an agreement between all those souls, you know, in their contract, that when that time comes, that they'll all go together. I mean, the humans aren't aware of that, but the souls themselves are. So I think at times probably the plants that you know, collide with each other, if you would want to put it that way. I think that they, some of them do have, you know, an agreement, and they just, that's just a situation that that they will accept if they know that overall they're good for it. I mean, sometimes fires are good. It, you know, it cleans out the area. It gets rid of that, all the brush, and it opens up areas so that that air can come and sunshine can come. And sometimes those are, you know, really good controlled fires. The other ones, unfortunately, particularly when they're set by man, that is, you know, that's a disaster. And I'm sure at that time, you know, they're, it's like, hey, I'm a fire. I've been set. I've got a burn, and the tree goes, well, geez, I wish it wouldn't come this way. But I also have a feeling too that that, you know, the animals know what's happening, and many of them will, they sense that and they flee. Obviously, that's part of a survival, but it's also part of the connection between it all. So, I think that's hard when you've got the circumstances with fires that are set or fires that are not expected. Yeah, you're going to have some confrontation there.
Well, I think it's interesting that, you know, that Akrati mentioned that the hurricane was, I think she said it was angry or, but this is like when the intent behind it, the purposely created hurricane from HAARP or from engineering, I mean, it was an outside force. It wasn't natural. So they may be angry because they're being manipulated, you know, the forces
Correct.
Of nature. So that makes it a lot, you know, that's another element in this equation, you know. And then there's the, let's see what I was going to say. I just learned about the pre-Columbian days, 1491. Columbus landed in 1492 on this continent here, but in 1491 the Indians were they found that they were basically pyromaniacs. they were always doing controlled fires because it like cleared the land of insects and you know, created new brush and new growth, and they really had a system going, but that it worked, you know, it really worked for them. They weren't doing it maliciously, and they knew what they were doing. They work with nature, but they do,
right,
you know, do purposeful fires and all that.
Right. My understanding of the Indians is that they work with nature, and if they were going to do that, then they would talk to the area and they would pre-plan for it and do their ceremonies to work with the spirit. So it's too bad we can't be more like the Indians.
Yeah, well, we're our presentation, we're moving towards that. You know, we understand and we're aware of this, that we could very well work closer to the elementals, to nature, to the animals, like, you know, the indigenous people were aware of and doing, actually. Before a hunt,
yeah,
they would honor the victim there for the food he provided or she provided. So, and then it could be done. It's just agreement. So I'll give it back to Tim. Tim, are you still there?
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I was wondering, do the fairies mention anything about, are they aware of where they get their education and their guidance from?
Pretty much any of your higher vibration or higher frequency beings, they have what we call, because there's a term for it. It's just an all-knowing. So whatever information they need, when they need it, they have it. It's like a direct line. We unfortunately, as humans, we've been kind of cut off from that from our agreement from coming to the third dimension, but they have the ability to, if they need to know something, they just ask and the answer is given, whatever it may be. So that would be, I would say that would be their training, but that they don't really need to be trained. They just, they might say, how do I do this? How do I help this green leaf? And the information would come or something like that. And so I don't think they really have a training like we do. Humans need to be trained, or we think we do. We have more innate knowledge than we realize. We just don't use it.
Yeah, thanks, Nancy. Another thing, do the fairies, have you heard them sing any songs?
Oh, they are very, usually when I'm working with them, they're not singing, but I'll tell you, they are extremely happy. And they, you know, they're very vibrant, very, gosh, what do I want to say? The dancing. I mean, like I feel them. I don't see them. Someday I will, but I just feel them like flutter around me. They're just like, they don't sit still too long. Might sit on my shoulder. I feel them there, and then all of a sudden they're gone. They're just flitting around, you know, yicking, yacking, and talking. And so they have a lot, you know, they have a lot of energy, and yeah, they do like to sing, but they haven't sung me any songs. I will have to ask them. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you might mention that the new you song, if they need any real guidance or education on anything to find out for themselves if it works for them. Another thing is, do you see yourself as a being that the fairies are able to express what they want to people through you?
Yes, I do feel. I've had a couple. Had a wonderful reading with a lady, and she said that they have made me their ambassador. So I consider that quite an honor. So yeah, and you know, my whole mission that he read a little earlier is really, that's what my mission is. And I know there are multiple ways for people are working on trying to make us all aware to change our environment and our society. And I just feel that the fairy energy is one that is just going to be another avenue that some people would relate to it. You know, sometimes you might hear a cause and you like it, but you just maybe don't like the way the particular organization is going about it, which is fine. That's where humans, we all have different opinions. But I just kind of have this feeling and this knowledge that through this vehicle, it will bring about the magic, and I call it the energy of fairy magic. And that energy is something that we can all tap into once we are aware of it and we know how to.
Yeah, thanks again. I'm wondering if anybody else has any questions for Nancy while they have the opportunity to ask anything about the fairies or the elementals.
Sandy, are you able to talk at all or not at all? Because Sandy's got a lot of experiences too with the elementals and stories. Are you able to talk at all?
It seems when I start talking, I cough. And I don't know if I could do it or not. But I've had a lot of experiences with the fairies and the gnomes and the salamanders and the people of the air, the slythes or sylphs. And in my backyard, I sang our song to the granite. Excuse me. When I swallow, it starts to... till the granite sang the new you back to me. My house is on granite. They had to take out the granite by dynamite to put the house on top of it. And so I wanted a good foundation. So I sang to it until it sang back. And then in my backyard, I have a little forest and all kinds of wild flowers there. I didn't plant any of them, but they seemed to appear. I also had two wild rose bushes appear out of nowhere, and they just are beautiful. They're big. I don't know where they came from. And it was in my forest around a tree in the front. And as I'm singing to the granite, I thought, well, I'm going to sing to the flowers. And as soon as I started singing to the flowers, this beautiful little fairy with iridescent wings, I could see her on a daisy. And she was flitting around. It was so beautiful. And then I sang the new you to her, and she sang it back with me. And then I progressed to the trees, and I sang to the trees the new you, until they vibrated to it and were singing it. And then I saw a little gnome. I have a group of granite rocks in the back where they left them, and there was a little gnome sitting on there. He had a smushed down. Yeah, it was so cute. He had a smushed down caramel colored hat. And so I talked to him a little bit and sang New You, and he sang it back. And pretty soon they're all singing together in my backyard. And it sounded like a symphony. It was all in harmony.
Oh, that's beautiful. Now, what is this song, New You You?
Val, I'm kind of losing the voice here. Do you want to?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for your sharing, Sandy.
Thank you, Sandy.
Yeah,
thank you.
Nancy, it's a connection. Basically, it replaces the, I'm sure you're familiar with Om and all these other mantras and sounds that the spiritual paths and religions have used throughout the ages. Well, this is basically the updated version. It's the one that connects to the, we call it the real universes, or, you know, the real life, real reality that just is. So you might try it before bed. This is a suggestion. 10, 15 minutes before bed, it goes like this. New you. Just do that over and over, sing it, and then see what happens, see what you're shown. Maybe the fairies too, like us with Sandy, they're going to respond to this most definitely, and they can even wake up more to what they're doing, and, you know, have a more of a richer life from this sound. So, something to try.
I love it.
Now, I've had this question for a long time. Maybe you can answer it here. So, this is like, I'm sure you're familiar with Secret Life of Plants, a book written a long time ago. You must be, right? Secret Life of Plants?
No, I haven't read that, but I'm writing it down, and I will read it.
Yeah, it must have been the 60s, way back, or 70s. Experiments done on plants with connecting electrodes, some kind of, you know, device to measure their response.
I've heard of this, yes.
To pain, to like motion, like anger, pain. To motion for one thing, and then, you know, we're going to cut your leaf, we're going to cut your stem. And then there's a response, you know, a survival response, like fear or something. In other words, I don't know how they interpreted it, but there was a response. So my question is, if you know these fairies and plant elementals. Now, on the other hand, I've heard that, pruning is actually stimulates growth, and actually many trees like to be pruned and cut. So when we pick a fruit, when we pick a leaf off an herb or something, like a piece of thyme or something, how do they react? Is that painful? Is that something, it's like just cutting a fingernail off us or something? Or how do they react to say, cutting. I mean, emotions I can see. They're going to react to, just like water and Emoto, that fellow, that Japanese fellow that did experiments
mm-hmm.
with
yes.
the crystalline water. Emotions I can see. It's an energy. It's a feeling. But in terms of like physical, like cutting the plant,
Is there pain?
That
is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I think if it's abrupt, it could probably be a little bit painful. But like I have a fig tree in the back, I have to keep it small. My yard's not all that big, so I prune it every year. But before I do, I talk to it and I say, okay, I'm going to cut right here. So next year, you know, you're going to be beautiful and you're going to have. You know, you'll have lots of fruit, which I appreciate. And even when I pick up a tomato, I just say thank you, just to make it more appreciative to the plant, you know, or an herb. But as far as that, the picking of the fruit or the leaf, I don't believe that's painful. That's their purpose. I mean, if you yank at it, it's not going to be happy about it. But if you take it gentle and thank it, it's going to be pleased. I'm sure like when they cut down the trees, you know, the loggers and you know, they go in a forest and they cut down the trees for wood and all that. I think that I think that's a little destructive, and I'm sure that I don't think they would have physical pain as much as they would have sorrow. The sorrowfulness of being taken before, you know, for something they were not necessarily made for, and or so they're just unhappy and very sorrowful. For instance, one of the things that I read is for, let's say you take a, particularly computers, this works with me very well, metal and plastic are very uncomfortable. Plastic bottles, plastic, anything plastic, because that is not their nature. Glass is okay. It comes from sand and it's been, you know, it can alter that. But plastic is not, particularly metal. So I usually put my right hand on, I just go around the house every once in a while and just do this. And I just like metal. I will put my hand in there and I envision being underground, being oil, and just letting them remember what they are to help ease their discomfort. And I found that with my computer, when it gets to acting up, I will mm-hmm. do that. I will turn it off and I'll touch it and I'll just, you know, let it think. Just think about oil, like where you came from, that you're free and easy, and just kind of give it that feeling of what its true nature was. I've done that with like bricks on a wall that's been done, or even concrete. Sometimes I'll be standing on it. I don't do this all the time, but I might just be there thinking. I just get this feeling, this poor inanimate object, which is really alive, just needs a little bit of remembering where it came from. So you can even do it with wood that's been cut, you know, things like that. But anyway, painful, I wouldn't say it was a physical pain as much as it's just being sorrowful, being very unhappy, uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't see them having the makeup that we do. We have the central nervous system, the nerves that respond to different stimuli. They're made up a bit different. And I've heard
mm-hmm.
yeah, I've heard others say that they just are made, their makeup is different. So it's, you can't really compare to the human structure,
right?
The plant structure,
right?
Yeah,
we are very complicated beings.
yeah, but they do have this, like trees, the cambium layer. I mean, that's their bloodline. That's their, you know, feeding mechanism. So that's
mm-hmm.
that's something too could consider. And I'm a gardener too, so I consider that to you know, feeding the plant, the lifeline of the plant or tree, that's crucial. Okay, I'll go back to you, Tim.
Yeah, great. I've still got some questions about for Nancy. Are you aware of what do they last forever, fairies, or are they in a process of, you were talking about vibrations or dimensions? It's like we have these physical bodies, and they don't, it sounds like, unless maybe they can appear in physical. And then they have a memory, it sounds like, and that's like the causal plane or world or realm or whatever you want to call it, dimension. And then they have the mental. They, it sounds like they think. What do you think about them? Are they going to be just what they are forever? Is that what they continue to be, or do they change? Or and
well, at this point, I would say that until our world and we humans get our self in alignment and we all move our vibration up, I think they are definitely going to stay where they are to do what they want, you know, what they want to do to help the environment and help the earth and help Gaia. But like anything else, as time goes on, as time changes, they could then decide when the time is right to, you know, maybe they want to go to another planet and do something there, or maybe they have an avenue. I've also heard that angels are, fairies, some of them can be angels in training, because they're kind of like a little bit below in vibration to the angels. So some of them might choose that. So yeah, they can change, and you know, once they make that decision. And I think they're like any other entity, as we are. We always were, we always will be. You know, it's infinity all the way around. So they're the same thing. And they came here. All of a sudden, I'm feeling like some of them came from Venus to help the Earth, to help Gaia, to help us all through this mess we've created. So, I think, but I don't think that, you know, some of them might say, hey, I've had enough of this, I want to change. And they might ask Creator and say, hey, Creator, I want out of here. And he might, you know, he would never be held where you wouldn't want to be. But I think most of them still have a desire to stay and help, and they'll stay here as long as we need them.
That's interesting to see your views or ideas, or I'd like to ask, why do you think we came here?
My understanding is that we're here for lessons, and it's, you know, we're such magnificent beings that it's almost like we need to do something. What can we do different? How can we learn and grow even more? So I think that Robert Shapiro calls us the explorer race, that we decided to come into this physical body and a portion of us, and that we are here to learn our way back to the Creator, to God, however you want to look at it. And it's kind of like, anytime we do something, we want to discover. All humans are very, they want to find things. We want to discover. We want to seek. And I think that's why we're here. That we're going to grow. And once we grow, and find our way back to being oneness again, we'll be even fuller as a being. So that's my take on it. I don't know what other people say, but.
Yeah, that's interesting to look at the reasons that we think we have come into this physical realm. Or do you think we reincarnate? And do you think that there's such a, yeah. And do you think that that there's cause and effect as a law?
Oh, you mean
like karma?
Karma, yeah. I think at one time there was, from what I have read, is that we human beings have, and a race of beings have, that's been lifted, that we're not going to be coming back to learn our lessons again. That part, we're not be forced to come back to say, okay, let's say we killed somebody in our previous life, so we got to come back and, you know, and be killed. I think that karma, from what I understand, is lifted after 2012 when the shift happened. And now we're in the process of growing and raising all of our vibrations so that we are going to enter that fourth dimension, which has a lot less negativity, a lot less polarization, and is much more benevolent, but still will be challenging. It's like my husband goes, I don't know if I want to just go up and do that. He says, you know, I like to do a model airplanes. I like to do this. I like to ride my motorcycle. And am I going to be able to do that? I said, from my understanding, yes, you just won't have to worry about falling off your motorcycle and breaking your leg. So you're going to be a little bit more, you know, aware of what's going on and be able to, that negativity and that discomfort is going to be such a small portion, just enough to stimulate us, but not enough to make it so discomfort that all the cruelty and all the wars and all the death and all the, you know, the slavery even and the you know, molestation, all that will not exist. You might say it's heaven, but, you know, that's in my opinion, that's where we're headed. And I think we're all going to go one way or another. So, yeah, I do believe in reincarnation, but I think after this time, we may or may not come back. We might have the option to, you know, to expand on, or we might say, I still want to go back. Particularly at my age, I'm older. The younger ones, I think, will, you know, within 20 to 30 years, we're going to reach that. And I would like to be around 20 or 30 years to see that change. So I may or may not make a decision to come back. So, yeah, I do believe in reincarnation.
It was interesting that you say that the way you see this 2012 time, that you don't see the karma as having effect now. And what about the wars and the killing of the men, women, and children that are taking place on Earth right at this minute?
Well, it wasn't a cure-all for my understanding. It was more of a turning point that, I mean, if you look at civilizations over, I think it's every 20,000 years, I can't remember exactly, it might be 33,000, something like that the Earth civilization was just obliterated for one reason or another because they just got too bad. But my understanding after 2012 that we basically we're going to make it this time. We're not going to obliterate each other. But the negativity is still there. And that's what we have going on right now. My personal opinion is that there's still that, you could call it discomfort, you could call it the devil, you could call it evil. I mean, you know, you could call anything you want to call it, but it's still so strong. But I think this is why so many things are coming out, you know, in the political, in the priesthood, all those things that we're going, wow, this has been going on. And the light's going to shine on that, and eventually the light's going to overtake the darkness, or the, you know, the comfort will overtake the discomfort. So it's not gone away now. I think we're probably going through some of our worst times right now because the darkness and the discomfort is struggling so hard to maintain power. But on the other hand, there are so many people awakening. I mean, like, you've got your whole website and I mean, there are just so many organizations out there now who are saying, you know, that isn't, war is not going to get it. You know, there is a much better benevolent way for us all to get along. So, yeah, that's still going to be going on for a while. I mean, I'm not a, you know, a psychic, but I do know that I believe that we should all expect the goodness to come and the best things to come. Because when you dwell on, it's the law of attraction, you dwell on all the, what could come, that's going to come. But if we, more and more people dwell on what's going to be good and it's going to be better, that's what's going to come. If that makes any sense.
Thanks again for your ideas. And another question is, do you know of any fairy religion, or do they do rituals, or are they into things like that?
You mean people?
The fairies.
No, they don't. I don't think they do. They may do singing and dancing and that kind of a thing, but they don't, they're not any particular religion. They're not structured like that. You know, they're an entity, they're an energy, they're a good force. So they're not into, you know, conglomerating against making a little organization here, a bunch of fairies and a bunch of fairies over there. So, you know, and there can be some, I wouldn't say naughty fairies. I wouldn't say bad fairies. I would call them naughty. They might be rambunctious. They might get a little bit too close to our energy and let their guard down. So they might, you know, do a little prankster things and take a few things or hide a few things from us. I know that Brian Freud had written a whole thing on bad fairies, but I think that's more of a darker side of it. And I feel that the real energy, the elemental energy, and the energy of Gaia and what they're trying to do to help, I think they're a much more higher vibration and much more benevolent than some that he talks about, which, and they could be there, but once again, I just don't choose to communicate with them.
Yeah, thanks again, Nancy. Well, do you have anything that you think is very important to tell everybody?
Well, I think it's important that we all stop and realize that there is so much goodness and energy around us, and that there's more than just, and I'm sure that everyone listening to this call, they're already aware of that. But my message to other people that maybe it's their first time, or, you know, or even if they're not here, that, you know, keep your mind open to the energies and to the goodness and what's around us, because everything is alive. And basically we're all one. We all come from one source. And the plants communicate with each other, and animals can communicate with each other. And we should be doing the same. And some people do. They have learned that ability to just read each other's feelings, and sometimes you can do that if you're open to it. It's very easy to read each other's feelings and to connect with them. But that would be my thing, just to try to be aware, to open your mind about the possibilities around us, because there are endless, endless possibilities.
Thanks again, Nancy. I'd like to I'm just curious, have you ever heard of reptilians?
Yes, I have.
Do you think that they're affecting –